Kristen, here we are talking about the new romantic comedy, Jason Segel, Emily Blunt, in the 5-year engagement.
Not 2 years.
Not 2 years.
Not four.
5 years.
Yeah, 5 years.
5 years. Two people who are trying to, they love each other very much. They're trying to get, they're engaged and they want to get married, but for various reasons they can't. The engagement stretches on into 5 years. I don't mean to put too much on the shoulders of Jason Segel and Emily Blunt, but I feel like this could spell the beginning of the end of the romantic comedy as a genre.
You're so upbeat. You're so upbeat.
I'm going to blame these guys for killing an entire genre, or at least delivering the first cut of 1,000 that will kill this genre.
Oh my God, you're such a negative Nancy today.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kristen.
Oh my God, the sun is shining. It's 5 a.m. What's your problem? Oh my God. All right. You know what? I don't know if I can agree with you on that point.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you how I feel about that after we introduce ourselves. I'm Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday. And this is Movie Date.
All right, Rafer. We're talking today about the 5-year engagement. Romantic comedy. Like a lot of Jason Segel movies, we see a little bit of nudity of Jason Segel in it.
Of Jason Segel. Yes, that's right. That's right. He loves doing that.
He just loves doing that. But, you know, you had a great idea, Rafer. You said, let's throw a trivia question out to our listeners.
Yes, let's.
Let's hear it. Let's hear your trivia question.
All right. So here's the trivia question. So Jason Segel, you know, famous. I think his breakthrough role really was Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where he showed us everything. He does not show us quite as much in this movie. Plenty. But not quite as much. So here's the question. What romantic comedy was the first to show a man naked from the waist up? That should give you a hint about what era we're talking about.
It's from 1987. No, I'm lying.
That's right. It's with Kevin Bacon. No.
So that's our trivia question. We're going to answer that on next week's podcast. And we'll reiterate it at the end of this podcast. But let's get back to the 5-year engagement. Give us a summary, Rafer.
Okay. Jason Segel plays Tom, a Bay Area chef at a fancy restaurant. Was it a sushi restaurant? What was that restaurant? Do you remember?
I think it was called Birch.
Birch.
That's all I remember.
Oh, wow. All right. Good memory.
Yeah.
And he is engaged to Violet, played by Emily Blunt. She is a budding psych professor. She's applying for postdoc positions at universities around the country. She wants to go to Berkeley. She wants to be at Berkeley. She doesn't get in. Instead, she takes a job at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Tom readily agrees, which, you know, in a role reversal, a gender role reversal, readily agrees to sideline his career, move with her to Ann Arbor, and, you know, after 2 years, you know, she does well, she'll apply to other places, and maybe they'll move back to the Bay Area and they'll get married. Meanwhile, grandparents keep dying, and everyone keeps saying, you know, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? They just can't seem to sort of, set the date for the big day. She does well at her position. 2 years stretches into 3 years, then 4 years, then 5 years. And there you have the 5-year engagement.
Oh, wow. Doesn't that sound exciting?
Well, that's my question. Does that sound exciting? Is that a good idea for a romantic comedy? Is that an interesting idea?
You think it sounds like a bullet between the eyes of the romantic comedy.
I do. Here's my main problem. Okay, so if you go back in history and look at any story that's with, you know, two young lovers, we'll call youngish lovers. What are these guys in this movie?
In their 30s.
30s, right? Late 20s, 30s. Two youngish lovers trying to get married, but something is stopping them. What is that something?
It's themselves, and that's awesome.
I don't think that's so awesome,
it's
you know?
It's awesome. What do you mean? Does it always have to be the case that I'm a prostitute and you're a real estate developer? Oh, no. How are we going to handle this?
There you
this?
Go. Pretty woman. So you have...
Oh, no. I'm the prime minister and you're a lowly secretary.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Difference in social status, okay, to Arthur. Right. If I marry this waitress,
I hate this movie.
I lose all my money. Right. My family cuts me off. Right. Pretty woman. Right. Right. Just like you're saying. I love this woman, but she is literally a whore. Right. The Graduate. I love you, but I have been sleeping with your mother. These are actual real problems that require a solution.
These are completely
terms of the movie, in the world of the movie.
What's wrong with the troubles, with the obstacles, with the opportunities, if you will, coming from the characters and springing from the lives and the minds and the hearts of the characters instead of some sort of outlandish circumstance?
Like a blood feud.
A blood feud,
Okay, so were you into this movie as they're sort of, you know, just kind of having their life in Michigan, in Ann Arbor, kind of hanging out? You know, he's working at Zingerman's Deli, a great deli, by the way, and he's just sort of, you know, and he's gone from fancy barrier chef to lowly sandwich maker.
Yes.
You were into it.
Yes, I was into it. I was into it, and you know why? I think that it's interesting when characters' problems come from themselves. I think it's interesting, in my opinion, to see what I consider the influence of acceptance of gay Americans into our films.
Gay Americans.
Here's why.
Now you've lost me.
Here's why. Because I think that the traditional gay narrative in America, because gay marriage has always been illegal, at least on a federal level, that the movie with a gay couple doesn't have to end in a wedding.
And I
think that's great. And fewer Americans are getting married now, heterosexual, homosexual, whatever. And I think that there's, in my mind, I felt some sort of positive influence from gay America on this movie. I felt that not everything has to end in a wedding or a baby, and that's fine.
Hmm.
And the circumstances along the way don't have to be a blood feud. That's fine. The circumstances can come from within. Do I want to do this or do I not want to do this?
I'm going to call that a stretch.
A stretch?
On that movie. There aren't even any gay characters in this movie, Kristen.
There's only one, and it's a shame because it's the Bay Area for half the movie.
Oh, that's right. It's the Bay Area
and
chef,
there should
the restaurant owner.
Yes. And you're right. I felt that there were almost no gay people in the movie. There were almost no minorities in the movie. And yet I felt that in some ways the movie was informed by gay movies and gay America.
Okay. Well, I think the movie is definitely – I think the movie may well be a very accurate representation of what this new generation is going through. Like you were saying, marriage – I read somewhere marriage is at an all-time low. It's like 51% of people are now married, whereas – in 1960, I think this was a Pew Research study.
Mm-hmm.
In 1960, it was 72%. Like, it's really dropped. And, of course, the age has gone up, right? The age has gone from, like, 20 in 1960 to, you know, 29 now. So the age – people are getting married later. And it's clear that people just simply aren't in any rush to get married. It's just not a big deal. There's not the societal pressures that are on people to get married. And so therefore, when I'm now seeing a modern romantic comedy about two people who are trying to get married, I don't understand the urgency. It's almost like the film has pulled its own legs out from under itself. There's no rush. There's no immediacy. They don't lose or gain anything by getting married or by not getting married.
Would you have liked it better if it was called the 45-year engagement instead? Because then that way, you're right, there's no urgency. When they get to the retirement home, they can gaze into each other's eyes
right.
and say, maybe now is the time to do this.
Right. Why not? I mean, I think the weaknesses in the film become pretty apparent, right? Like, what we're mostly watching through the whole movie is Bay Area Tom trying to adapt to inland Michigan, right? So he goes hunting with his buddy and, you know, can't, you know, shoots the deer and can't strap it to his car, so he puts it in the passenger seat and drives home with a giant dead deer, right? He starts brewing his own, what is it, like honey wine or mead or something, right? He's got a fridge full of venison now. That's not that funny, and plus it seems like a theme from a different comedy, not a comedy about marriage and domesticity and
That's
relationships.
That's a comic relief, and you know what? What's happening in this movie are people dealing with their own ideas of perfection of marriage, perfection of relationships. There are a couple of points in the movie where people talk with Emily Blunt and with Jason Segel separately and say, you know what? It's not going to be 100% perfect. And stop waiting for this to be 100% perfect.
The parents, of course, mostly saying
these things. He says to his parents at one point, I just don't know if this is 100% right, and I just can't get married until I know that it is. And the parents say, what? 100% right. Your father and I are maybe 60% right. on a good day right for each other, right. and that's fine. 60% is great, and that's okay. This 100% nonsense, you got to get that out of your head.
Right. In other words, what the message is, eat the stale donut, right? That's Emily Blunt as the psychology professor. That's her big contribution to the movie, is she has an experiment where she's trying to see who eats the stale donut versus who will wait 20 minutes for the new fresh donuts. There's this idea that somehow, you know, to wait for the fresh donut is the wrong move, right?
Because you know what, those donuts might never come,
right?
And
right.
these stale donuts are kind of delicious in their own way, even if they're not perfect.
So you found you thought the film was charming. You thought it was funny. You cared about the characters.
I was a little bit grossed out by a certain food fight in the movie, which I'm not going to go into right
yeah.
now. Just thinking about that food fight scene.
Right. It isn't, we should point out, and again, I think this is a problem with the movie. It's an R-rated film, and because there's no actual humor in the movie, they try to R-rate it up with a lot of gross language, gross jokes. There's some dismemberment. There's a gross food fight, a strangely sexualized food fight. There's some barfing. All of which just seemed to me like gratuitous, incongruous. I just felt like this does not belong in this movie. Why is Violet barfing?
You know what you were thinking? Where are the prostitutes and real estate developers?
That's exactly
I want
what
a
I
prostitute
thinking.
And a real estate developer.
Where's my blood feud in this damned romantic modern contemporary film?
You know what reality has going for it, though?
Yes.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't see any possibilities here. I say reality comes with possibilities. I say it comes with different narrative options. I say it comes with a whole world and a whole path we can go down, or several paths that we can go down, that don't just involve the prime minister and his secretary.
All right. So to you, you would say good date.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a good date. It's a good date. You might break up with your significant other afterwards, but
you might just lose interest and walk away. Forget what you've been doing.
You might get married a few months later, or you know, a few decades later. Who knows what'll happen? But I don't think it's a bad date at all. I thought it was pretty good.
All right, I say pretty bad date.
Oh, I can tell. I know what you were going to say.
All right, then.
It was okay. All right, so you think it's a bad date?
All right.
Do you want to reiterate our trivia question for
yes.
our listeners?
Yes. All
again?
Right. So once again, give us a call with your answer to the trivia question. We've got a number set up, 5717 movies. Should be pretty easy to remember. 5717 movies. Give us a call and tell us what's the first romantic comedy to show a man naked from the waist up.
You can't have one without the other. Love and marriage.
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.
And they will say it's elementary. Try.